Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
High noon in the District of Columbia. We ain't scared of none of you. Right now, to help us break down the Commanders matchup against the Cowboys, we're going to go to the BetQL guest line. Talk to our friend, Mr. Bobby Belt from Dallas, Texas. Bobby, what's up, man? How are you, man?
I'm great. I still haven't gotten used to Commanders. That's still taking some time, man.
It'll take a lot of us time, too, but it's coming.
Yeah, I still say Skins all the time. Don't worry about it.
Until they come up with a decent nickname. I have just gotten used to Washington football team.
Until they come up with a decent nickname, I think it's socially acceptable to say Skins. That's my new stance. Bobby is the Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Does a ton of work with NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX. Is the TX like your initials or something? Surely it's not Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Texas. Proud, man. Proud of the state. It's for Texas. It was Bobby Belt was taken, and there were I hate doing like the underscore thing and everything else. And I mean, look, you know, this radio business, nothing's assured. So I didn't want to put a call letters in my handle or anything. So I just went with my state because I figured that's not going to change.
As somebody with call letters in their handle, I understand what you're saying. Let's get to this matchup. Let's get to this matchup Sunday. Commanders, Cowboys. Cowboys coming off a pretty impressive Monday night win in New York. Really the strength of that team, I would say, is their defense. But me and Beamish have kind of liked what we've seen from Cooper Rush. Let's start with the Cowboys' offensive side of the ball and kind of what they have, what's working, what isn't.
Yeah, they've kind of simplified things a little bit for Cooper Rush. You know, they've taken out, it seems like if you listen to them and watch, you know, the tape and things like that, it looks like they've taken out a lot of the option routes. So it's pretty straightforward, some of these reads that he's having to make. And, you know, one of the things you hear a lot of from guys in the locker room is that the best attribute Cooper Rush has is his steadiness. Like, the moment's not too big for him. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. It's a very even-keeled sort of demeanor. And I think he's played that way. And so they've kind of laid things out for him in a very basic way. And a lot of these teams now, Cincinnati, the Giants, they're playing the Cowboys to run. They're playing the Cowboys to lean on Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. So he's gotten some favorable looks at times from these defenses, and he's been able to take advantage of that. And so he's doing exactly what you'd want a backup quarterback to do. But I think really the thing that's helped carry them, outside of obviously the defense, I mean, not allowing 20 points in the game is a big deal. But I think the thing that's really carried them has been that running game returning to a respectable level after it struggled so much in the second half of last year.
You look at him, and I think he most backups come in the game and they look lost. And you say he's steady. But the thing I know, he makes quick decisions, and he doesn't try to do too much. Like, you know, when the little saying, less is more, they have less on him, and he just make the right decisions and keep moving. And I think other teams look at him as a backup, and they're waiting for him to make a mistake, but they're not asking too much of him where he will be making those mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, look, the only mistakes we're seeing are CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert dropping balls that are right on their hands. So, I mean, that's the bigger aspect there. But, look, I mean, the other thing is he's been here since 2017. I mean, he had a year away where he was with the Giants. But he's been on the practice squad, been around the building, worked with a lot of these guys. So they've gotten a ton of scout team reps in over the years, him and Noah Brown specifically. I think that's why you've seen that connection has been so strong between those two guys, because, you know, they've had to, over the years, all right, let's mimic Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams here. Let's do this and that. And so they've gotten a lot of that working together. in scout team reps. And so I think that that chemistry is really strong there. And a lot of the guys feel comfortable with him because he's been in these meetings with them for years, and he's been at these practices with them. And so they know they can trust him. But you're right, they're not asking too much of him, and what they're asking of him, he's executing.
Talking with our friend Bobby Belt from 105 The Three, The Fan down in Dallas, covers the Cowboys. Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott. I don't know why Pollard doesn't get more of the work. They seem committed to splitting that up pretty evenly. How has Zeke looked this season? What do you make of the Cowboys' run game? Because through three games, Washington's not doing a whole lot of stopping anybody on the ground.
Man, you know, it is pretty split evenly, but I think Cowboys fans are just happy to have that now and are taking that as a win, because it hasn't even been even in years past, and people have been pounding the table asking for it. And so they're finally starting to commit more to, hey, Tony Pollard, you're as much part of this running game as Ezekiel Elliott is. And in fact, it was Tony Pollard that they had in there icing the game late against the Giants. It wasn't Zeke. And so they're starting to trust him more. He's more the first down back for them. He's averaging, the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 7 yards a carry on first down. And so he's gashing the defense, setting up some shorter looks for them on second and third down. And then Zeke's kind of been the guy taking it from there. He's got 100% conversion rate this year on third down, Ezekiel Elliott does. And so they found a nice blend that seems to work with them. And I think the running game, since even week one, it looked good. It was just, they weren't able to use it very much. They fell down. And even though it was, you know, a 9-3 lead at times or whatever it was, I think it felt like to everybody else more like a 49-3 lead for Tampa, just because of how little the offense was able to get going. But a big part of this has been able to pick up that yardage on first down with Pollard and get them in more favorable looks on second and third down. They were second and 8+ 18 times against Tampa Bay. And wow, against Cincinnati and the Giants combined, it was 19 times. And so they've really been able to get themselves in some more favorable looks, averaged 8.5 yards on first down as a team against the Giants, averaged 5 against Cincinnati on first down. Against Tampa Bay, it was 2.5. And so that's been one of the biggest changes, is what they've been able to do on first down.
Well, yeah, I know you do a lot of different interviews, and people probably don't ask you anything about special teams. I will. Kevontae Turpin, okay, the young man, I watched him in the game. He returned 2 kicks for touchdowns. And I've always felt that when you have a weapon at that position, you can change things up. I know we're talking about Washington and Dallas's defense and offense. How good is he, and what must Washington be watching out for? Because we've already seen what he can do in the game.
Man, he is electric, and he had about there were 2 kicks last week. There was a kick return and a punt return where he was on the last line and got tripped up. And he kind of tried to hurdle the punter is what happened on the last one, and he got wrapped up. And it was funny, he was in locker room yesterday and said that, I mean, it always blows my mind the way, like, the mental processing that athletes have and things like that, where he was talking about how he was coming up to the punter and had a move in mind that he wanted to do, but he thought he was moving too fast to do it. So he said he went with what was natural, trying to just hurdle. It felt like the natural move to make. Uh-huh. But he says he's going back, watching the tape, looking where he can find an advantage. But he also mentioned yesterday that he's been studying Washington special teams and that he feels like he's got a chance to do some stuff this week. And so he's somebody that's been really exciting, really electric. I know that a lot of the guys in the locker room love what he's been able to do and how he's been able to put the offense in some good positions when they get the ball. Because they honestly haven't had a really good kick returner since, my gosh, Reggie Swinton, probably about 20 years ago. And so it's been a while since they've had somebody who can do that consistently for them. And they're really excited about what he can do. I think his last 3 punt returns have all gone for at least 14 yards. And so he's dangerous.
Yeah. And Washington, not as much against Philly, but certainly against Detroit, looked bad on specials. We're talking with our friend Bobby Belt from Dallas, covers the Cowboys. You can give a follow on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX. Let's get to the matchups that kind of everybody's talking about, and that's Washington's banged-up offensive line against the monsters on the Dallas defensive line. The Cowboys come into this thing with the best pass rush in the NFL. They've got 13 sacks through 3 games. Washington comes into this thing giving up the most sacks in the NFL. One thing that often happens in pro football is every time there's a presumed matchup advantage, things perhaps inexplicably, but just go the other way. Like the opposite happens when everybody expects one thing. What are the chances that the opposite thing happens here? And maybe Washington's O-line is able to counter off Parsons and Tank?
Well, I mean, Micah Parsons was obviously had the two sacks in each game to start the first two games of the season. Didn't get one against the Giants, which that's, by the way, the only team in the NFC East he hasn't gotten a sack against now. Three games and he's still without a sack against the Giants. But he was, you know, afterwards, you get done with the game, and JP, you've been in the locker room post-game. B mentioned how you've been in locker rooms, obviously. And like, usually you get the cleanup, and everybody's showered and gets their, you know, designer clothes on for the plane ride home. And, you know, right. You'd have no idea if they just played a football game. Micah Parsons was dressed 30 minutes after the game. We were standing in his locker, and he had sweat pouring down his face because wow. He's still sick. And so he was dealing with an illness last week, flu-like symptoms, and had been actually entered the stadium with a giant, like, gallon of Pedialyte on his hip pocket that he was just drinking going into the stadium. So it'll be interesting to see where his conditioning's at. I think he took a bit of a beating in this Giants game. There were a lot of double teams, a lot of chips, and so we'll see how prepared he is. DeMarcus Lawrence was limited in practice yesterday. He's got a foot issue that had kept him out of the game for a little bit against the Giants, so they're a little banged up and bruised. The interior of the Cowboys' defensive line has not been great so far this year. It's been a lot of pressure from the edges and from Parsons blitzing, but you know, they're a little banged up right now. But I think that would be the best opportunity for Washington to kind of keep them at bay. But I know Dallas, one of the things they're worried about is they want to try and get home. They want to try and get that pressure because they have concern about the weapons that Washington has. Like, they feel like those skill players are going to really challenge their defense. And so I think that that's something they really want to put an emphasis on, is trying to generate pressure and generate some quick decisions from Carson Wentz.
Dallas has a history of Carson Wentz. What's the discussion or the narrative around Dallas this week about Carson and his offense?
You know, he's been removed from the division for a couple of years now, from playing Dallas consistently. And so I don't know, with the changeover, you know, to Dan Quinn and then some of the changes that they've had on defense, it feels a little unfamiliar. I mean, obviously it's familiar, Carson Wentz coming back and playing the Cowboys. We've seen him a ton of times. But it just, with this particular group, feels a little unfamiliar just because of all the changeover. So it still feels fresh, and I think you're still hearing – I mean, we'll get into locker room here in about an hour, hour and a half, and we'll get a better idea of what they're having to say about him. But it feels kind of, you know, the generalities of, yeah, he's a great quarterback, he can make all the throws. Like, I mean, just kind of having that discussion and still feeling it out on his end. But I think from – if you were to get them off in the corner, I think they'd feel like, yeah, we feel like there's going to be an opportunity for some turnover-worthy throws here. Like, I mean, it's – he can be dead on or – he can be way off, and we might be able to take advantage of some stuff like that. So I think publicly they'll give you all the generalities, but privately I think they'd say, look, we think there's an opportunity for us to get some takeaways here.
Well, dude, let me ask you about that, because as much as Trayvon Diggs gets celebrated, he takes a ton of risks. If I'm Scott Turner, and I'm not, if I'm Carson Wentz, and I'm not, and if I'm these Commanders wide receivers, and again, I'm not, but, like, are teams starting to try to bait him into any of this stuff? Because I can only imagine how excited Diggs is to face Carson Wentz, a guy that has a proclivity to turn it over. Like, is he not susceptible to double moves or pump fakes, any of that? And I know 2 years ago he got burned a decent amount. I know last year it kind of worked out his way. I believe he led the NFL in picks. Mm-hmm. But are people attacking him?
He got attacked pretty heavily even last year with all the picks that he was getting. I mean, he had 11 interceptions, but he also gave up a ton of yards. And you're right, he is susceptible to double moves. That's the thing everybody talks about with him. But, you know, he held his own pretty well against McLaurin twice last year. And, you know, I think the one game McLaurin had, like a catch or two was all, the one in Washington, and the one back in Dallas, I think it was, you know, held him to, like, 30 yards receiving or something like that. So he's played McLaurin well, and so I think he's got a good feel for him. But
2 years ago, yeah, Terry ate him up.
He did. And then that was a very – a much rawer version, I think, of Trayvon Diggs. But he's
– And Micah Parsons wasn't on the team yet.
Yeah. He is definitely an instinct player, Trayvon Diggs is. I mean, he – it's not the greatest quote in the world. You don't love to hear it, but I mean, he gave an interview this offseason where he said, yeah, I don't really try to watch too much film. I don't want to be thinking about film and having it, like, mess with how I react. And so that's not the best quote you'd like to hear from a corner who seems to struggle with reading things at times, but he's got such great instincts. But I think he's been more patient this year. He's got the one pick. He almost jumped her out for a pick six against the Giants. That was pretty close.
I don't know how he didn't catch that ball, dude. Watching that game
right
live,
through his hands.
Yeah. It went through his hands.
But
I mean, the only thing I can think is because we didn't smash any watermelons this week. We would have done that.
You know, I think the ultimate thing, though, Bobby, is like you can take chances when you know your quarterback, your D line can get to the quarterback. It takes time for double moves. And I think that's the one thing he has in his favor and Washington does not have in their favor. I don't think you have as much time for a lot of double moves against a team like Dallas. 23 pass pressures in one game.
Yeah.
That's a
hell
of a lot.
You've got to have time for that to develop, and Dallas obviously brings a lot of pressure. But one of the other things that I think is leading to Trayvon Diggs feeling a little more comfortable taking some chances that he, you know, didn't take the first couple weeks but seemed a little more aggressive in week three is they're really starting to trust the help behind him with Malik Hooker. They feel like he's a really good center field option for them and that he provides a little bit of a safety net for Diggs to take some of those risks. But yeah, he'll peek in the backfield. He'll drive on the ball. He'll watch the eyes and then he can get lost sometimes. It's burned him a few times. But, you know, I think that, you know, Diggs giveth and Diggs taketh away. And I think that in general, everybody's happy with the trade off if they know they're getting, you know, the ball back 11 times or ending drives 11 times. He's running back two of them. You know, I think they'll take that trade off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a playmaking league, and you take the good, you take the bad with the good if you have a playmaker. Malik Hooker, you're talking about, that's Ohio State Colts Malik Hooker, right? That's the same one. That dude was absolute stud and has just been besieged by injuries. I mean, he's one of my favorite college players of the last 20 years. His game at Ohio State was through the roof. How healthy is he and how good has he looked for Dallas?
I mean, he played in a career-high amount of games last year. He was able to stay healthy. The only time he missed games was for, like, COVID protocols when he was first getting worked back in and then, you know, his ramp-up period. And so from signing late in training camp. So he was healthy all last year, and he's been healthy this year. He's looked good out there. Now, I did notice, actually, yesterday in the locker, he was not on the injury report, but I did notice he had something on his wrist. So he had some little black brace on his right wrist. So I don't know if he was just dealing with something there, but he wasn't on the injury report, so I'm guessing he's fine. But he's been really good for them, and I think that you saw him coming on in the second half of last year. They always talk about Achilles as a 2-year recovery, and that's what he was coming back from, was a torn Achilles. And so I think you're starting to see him really get back to full strength and really trust himself. And with J'Ron Curse out, they've had the green dot on his helmet. And so he's been kind of calling the defense and quarterbacking things, and they have a lot of trust and a lot of belief in him.
All right, Bobby. Always kind of the, what do you figure, $10 billion question down in Dallas is, I mean, Jerry is already – pretty much neutered Mike McCarthy. Do you think he's going to fire him? Or, like, when does Dan Quinn take over? How's everybody feeling about Kellen Moore? Like, there's always kind of the Jerry Jones elephant in the room when it comes to the Dallas situation. 2-1, I imagine people are pretty happy with the way Cooper Rush looks. Is everything, or is it relatively calm seas for the Cowboys front office operation?
It's calm right now. I think after the Tampa game, there was an expectation of, like, man, this could turn into 0-5 really fast. And so, you know, with Dak getting hurt and as bad as they looked, and so there was some chatter then about, okay, how bad does the start have to be for the plug to get pulled? But they've rallied. They've won two games. He's gotten a lot of credit for, you know, being a steady hand so far. And, you know, they went for the big fourth down on the opening drive against the Bengals. He got a lot of credit for that, you know, going into the third down play, he clicked over on the headset and told Kellen, like, hey, get a fourth down play ready. We're going for it if we miss this. And so taking chances, taking risks, believing in his team, all that sort of stuff. I think that he's getting a lot of credit for that right now locally. I still think the best coach on this football team is your defensive coordinator, but you know the opportunity would have to open up for him, and right now it's not there.
But we do a lot of stuff in this town called Buffalo Nickel, but I watched Donovan Wilson play close to the line a lot, get some pressures, ended up with a sack in the game. Mm-hmm. How good is that kid?
He's very good. Now, he comes in there a little reckless at times, and he'll miss. He'll take some bad angles occasionally, but he's really good, and they've really liked him. He's similar to what Malik Hooker's dealt with in terms of somebody they had a lot of expectations for. They really liked him as a sixth-round sleeper that they took out of A&M a couple years ago, but he's just struggled to stay healthy. So now it's just staying healthy and being able to, with J'Ron Curse out, kind of step up into the box and take that role, and he's really excelled. He is a punishing tackler. I mean, when he plays downhill, it can be pretty exciting, but just got to make sure he takes the right angle. There were a couple times, Mixon, Barkley, different guys that have been able to take advantage of his aggressiveness.
Bobby, last one, and it's got to be quick. Do you guys laugh as much as we do every time Jerry says glory hole?
I love it that every time it becomes news, it's like, did you hear like the time he said it like 6 months ago or the year before that? Or yeah, we get
an oil term, apparently.
I want me some glory hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's an oil term, and he says that's an oil term, and then he winks when he says that. So I don't know. I think he knows. Look, as much as sometimes
Jerry's in on the joke,
old,
dude.
Old senile Jerry or whatever else, that man is much more aware of what he's saying than I think a lot of people think at times.
Yep.
I agree with you. Bobby, we appreciate it, man. Great info. Everybody give him a follow at Bobby Belt TX. I will see you Sunday, sir.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it. We'll have a beer.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Bobby.
You trying to say
Jerry
no.
Jones, the only owner in the NFL.
You were going to lie on that one, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm just telling the truth. Jerry's the only NFL owner that still has the cojones to serve beer in the press box after the game. It used to be customary. It's pretty much been eliminated throughout the league. But Jerry does what Jerry wants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.